The CDC reveals the tragic child victims of deviance normativity. The revolution to recast homoerotic activity as morally, ontologically, and teleologically equivalent to heterosexuality has been built on a foundation of lies, and one by one those lies are being exposed. Unfortunately, the same culture that swallowed those poisonous lies has been so thoroughly indoctrinated, or is so incapable of critical thought, or is so cowed by fear of homosexualists, that is, homosexuals and those who support their ideology, that the exposure of deceit will not matter. We were told homosexuals constitute 10% of the population. That was a lie. We were told that sexual orientation is biologically determined, like race. That was a lie. We were told that sexual orientation is, in all cases, immutable. That was a lie. And the cultural landscape shifted based on these lies. The consequences of this perverse sexual revolution are visited most tragically upon children. Children who are being acquired by men and women to be raised intentionally as motherless or fatherless. Children who are being taught lies about sexuality by the government. And children who are being denied proper care for their disordered thoughts and feelings. A new Centers for Disease Control study exposes the profound dysfunction and suffering of teens in grades 9 through 12 who identify as homosexual, bisexual, or are unsure of their sexual identity. While the press focuses on the sections of this study that address the serious issue of bullying, there are other deeply troubling statistics regarding homosexuality that demand at least as much or more attention, as well as unbiased examination of possible causes. The study reports that 5.4% of heterosexual students had ever been physically forced to have sexual intercourse when they did not want to, while 17.8% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual students had been. Of those students who dated someone during the 12 months before the survey, 8.3% of the heterosexual students reported being deliberately hit, slammed into something, or injured with an object or a weapon, as compared to 17.5% of the gay, lesbian, and bisexual students. Of those students who had dated someone during the 12 months before the survey, 9.1% of the heterosexual students had been forced to do sexual things by the person they were dating, as compared to 22.7% of the gay, lesbian, and bisexual students. During the 12 months before the survey, 26.4% of the heterosexual students had felt so sad or helpless almost every day for 2 or more weeks in a row that they stopped doing some usual activities, as compared to 60.4% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual students. 14.8% of heterosexual students had seriously considered attempting suicide during the 12 months before the survey, as compared to 42.8% of gay, lesbian, or bisexual students. 6.4% of heterosexual students had attempted suicide 1 or more times during the 12 months before the survey, as compared to 29.4% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual students. 16.3% of heterosexual students had drunk alcohol more than a few sips for the first time before age 13, as compared to 24.5% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual students. 6.8% of heterosexual students had tried marijuana for the first time before age 13, as compared to 13.9% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual students. 5.5% of heterosexual students had used hallucinogenic drugs, for example, LSD, PCP, or mescaline, 1 or more times during their life, as compared to 11.5% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual students. 4.2% of heterosexual students had used some form of cocaine 1 or more times during their life, as compared to 10.6% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual students. 4.1% of heterosexual students had used ecstasy one or more times during their lifetime, as compared to 10.1% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual students. 1.3% of heterosexual students had used heroin one or more times during their life, as compared to 6% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual students. 2.1% of heterosexual students had used methamphetamines one or more times during their life, as compared to 8.2% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual students. 2.6% of heterosexual students had taken steroid pills or shots without a doctor's prescription one or more times during their life, as compared to 9.7% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual students. 15.5% of heterosexual students had taken prescription drugs, for example, OxyContin, Percocet, Vicodin, Codeine, Adderall, Ritalin, or Xanax, without a doctor's prescription one or more times during their life, as compared to 27.5% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual students. And finally, 5.6% of heterosexual students had sniffed glue, breathed the contents of aerosol spray cans, or inhaled paints or sprays to get high one or more times during their life, as compared to 17.3% of gay, lesbian, and bisexual students. Is it possible that some teens who identify as homosexual or bisexual developed their homoerotic attraction as a result of forced sex, also known as rape? Can leftists reasonably argue that childhood molestation never in any case results in homoerotic attraction or the assumption of a homosexual or bisexual identity? Is it possible that both drug use and homoerotic attraction are both symptoms of family dysfunction and or child abuse and or social ostracism and bullying unrelated to sexual orientation? Are leftists so sure that societal disapproval and or bullying are the central causes of sadness, suicidal ideation, and suicide attempts among homosexual and bisexual teens, that counseling, which explores other possible contributive factors and may lead to sexual identity change, should be legally banned? Can leftists be certain that the unhappiness and dysfunctional behaviors of homosexual and bisexual teens are not caused by an internal, natural, and not socially constructed sense that homoerotic feelings are disordered and homoerotic activity is immoral? In other words, perhaps their sadness and unhealthy behaviors reflect the operation of conscience. As Paul writes in Romans, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. Those who truly love children would set aside their own sexual desires and plans for social and political revolution. They would be willing to examine impartially all factors that may contribute to homoerotic attraction or the assumption of a homoerotic identity and attendant unhealthy behaviors. And those whose identity is found in Christ should better balance grace and truth by loving these children while always affirming God's truth. True and holistic healing come from God. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Identifying with Christ may not result in the eradication of all homoerotic attraction, though it may, just as it may not result in the eradication of any other of the myriad sinful desires humans experience. It does, however, mean freedom from bondage to those desires, and it points the way to peace and fulfillment in the midst of trials and temptations. Perhaps leftists should apply these words from President Barack Obama to the tragic suffering of children who experience unchosen homoerotic feelings. He said, "If there is a step we can take to save even one child, we should take that step." Perhaps one step is entertaining the possibility that homoerotic attraction has causes to which leftists prefer to turn their blind eyes.